Welcome back, pop culture fans, to a brand new episode of Quality Check Podcast. We're getting spooky on this edition of Quality Check Podcast. And in your captain seat, co-captain seat, is yours truly, Daniel Posey, joining me wearing, I think it's a Wolfman suit, Drew Douglas.
I was going to say, you get captain's chair, and I was going to say, can we share it? Or my immediate reaction was, well, why do you get the captain's chair?
I was trying to find the there's a reason why I bring that up, and we will get to that here in the list that we end up talking about.
Ooh.
But it's a switcheroo. I was trying to work that in. I'm like, yeah, it didn't sound so great. So I'm just gonna stop. I stopped midway, and I'm like, I'll just change it up and I'll go back to the co-captains.
I mean, you're always free to restart if you want.
Ooh, we should end up Yeah, I was like, because it actually kind of it plays a little bit into one of the, if I remember that is, to bring it up again. But there it plays into one of the picks. This is kind of like a picks episode, though, because we're talking horror, mentioned spooky, and we're talking about horror for 2024. This is actually like, I was really excited when we were texting about this, because this is obviously our favorite genre, and I have been craving horror movies lately.
Before we do that, there's some big movies coming out this week, and I only bring this up for one reason. We have Roadhouse on Amazon, Ooh. Which we're obviously very excited for. Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney, which I don't know if it's going to be on either of our lists.
But it's getting great reviews.
Not bad. 70% right now. For old Sydney Sweeney. And then I bring this up because in a couple days, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire comes out. And I feel like, is there like no buzz for this movie? Because I see TV spots here and there, but I feel like no one is talking about this movie.
No, I feel the same. It's been weirdly almost like there's been more buzz over Dune Part 2 and such a huge discussion over all of that, but there's not a lot with the Ghostbusters film, and I think that, I don't know, like, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it either. Like, I'm not necessarily saying flying under the radar, but it is not generating as much attention, I think, that especially the other one did, and I find that weird, but, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what this does, but man, we got this coming up, and then I just can't stop thinking about Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's going to be the fun one of the weekend. I also, like, I wasn't, like, all that interested in seeing Immaculate, but with the reviews that it's getting, I kind of am now.
Yeah, and that's probably not a theater movie for me.
Right, yeah. I feel like that would be a good double feature, Roadhouse and then Immaculate. And especially that will scratch the itch of, you know, that the horror vibes. They're just feeling like, and I don't know, too, maybe it's just the fact that I'm, as we were talking about, we had to delay because I haven't been feeling that great. And then you might be able to hear it in my voice, but it's one of those that I've wanted to, like, whenever you get sick, you're not feeling great. It's just good to chill and watch some horror. That's like comfort food for some reason.
I mean, I don't have to be sick for that to be.
That's to be true. A thing. Like, that's true.
No, I'm excited because there was I have a. Obviously, we narrowed this down to five, but I have eight movies that didn't make my top five. Mm. So this is a pretty healthy selection of films. Crossing over between you and I of the five. I don't know. We might share two of them.
Yeah, I think that there will be one. I agree. There's definitely one that we'll share. I think that there's a second one, but I won't say which one.
I mean, there's one that I think we'll share, but a lot of times you will leave off an obvious pick just to have something different.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're gonna. I'm gonna lean towards. I think you will include it. But we're going to find out. Five movies, most anticipated horror. Before we get started, I tried to cover some bases with my picks. Mm. Like, there's a variety of horror films coming out, and I think they all kind of scratch a different itch.
Yeah, I'm curious, especially since you have more on your runner-up picks. if you end up going through that, because I just have one, and that's the tie-in that I have for that was supposed to be the beginning of this, the open to this podcast. So, but yeah, you go ahead, because I'm curious what you've got for those that didn't quite make the list.
Okay. I have these, I think, in order. The First Omen looks like it could be fun. Like, it looks better than I expected. Comes out April 5th. There's a movie, a spider movie called Sting. Have you seen the trailer for that?
Yeah, I have. And that it's funny because there's that, and then there's the spider movie Infested.
Infested? I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, that's a Shudder, another Shudder movie. Shudder actually seems to be killing stuff.
I'm a little concerned about Shudder, though, because I feel like quality varies.
Very.
So it's like, man, some of this stuff is cool, but are we grading on the Shudder curve? Because some of these reviews for some of these things are great, and I watch it, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
So Sting, I haven't watched the trailer. It just sounded interesting. I saw the TV glow on here. And Ooh. Then I keep hearing how amazing it is. And then I watch the trailer and I'm like, that Gives shows everything. Like, if you haven't seen the trailer for that and you're interested, do not watch that. Because it is like spoiler city.
Mm-hmm.
I put Long Legs on my close call list. I will say, because it was in, I had that in my top five most anticipated for like the first half of the year. And I didn't want to double dip. So Long Legs didn't make the cut. Trap, which is new M. Night Shyamalan. Don't know anything about it. Can't really add that outside of him doing it. Alien Romulus. Almost. That was the one that was originally in my top five when I gave it the boot.
Me too. Actually, and that was going to be my tie-in. That's the one that I've got at number six. And the main reason why is, and the whole joke was that... that because of being the captain, I'm the one that's killed off early on, and then you end up taking that spot, and that's where it's like a co-captain, but I mean, it's one of those, whatever. So, but Alien Romulus, that with it being Fede Alvarez, and this is being rumored to be very dark, and it's coming out August 16th. I'm very interested in this, but I couldn't add it to the list. I booted that last minute, and I'm like, yeah, I can't quite put it up there just because I'd like to see a little bit before I can get too hyped for another Alien movie. Although I'm very excited for this. I'm looking forward to it, and especially Fetty's take on this. I think he's had a very interesting outlook, especially with his Evil Dead film. That was just so, like, I think back to that movie every now and again, how messed up I got watching that. Like on an early Saturday morning. And I'm like, if he takes that same approach to the Alien franchise with this movie, this is going to be awesome.
I guess my concern is its main characters are like young people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I don't know what to expect from that. Like, that sounds unappealing. Not even like the cast is fine. It's just like something about that is slightly turning me off. But I think that could be awesome. That was a Hulu movie that's now in theaters or coming to theaters. So maybe it's really good, or maybe it's just easy money for Fox. I don't know why you would put that on Hulu to begin with, but these studios are strange. I had Beetlejuice, not necessarily horror, but it kind of fits in that. So I kept it off. And then my last one that didn't make it, Nosferatu, which is Robert Eggers follow up to, The Northman, I think, was his last one. And this is like his dream project. He wanted to make this after The Witch and then ended up doing The Northman and The Lighthouse in between. Or I guess before this one. But that didn't quite make the list. That comes out on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what kind of promotion we're going to get with this, because that's a Christmas Day release. I'm so shocked by that, but
nothing I mean, says the birth of Christ like vampires,
like Nosferatu.
So almost made the list were those movies. My numero five, do you want me to jump right into that?
Yeah.
I said that these all scratch a different itch. And this one, I'm not expecting a ton out of. I'm always interested in like these teen horror movies because I know I'm 37, but I feel like a teen at heart. I mean, I love those growing up. So I'm always like attracted to those for a number of reasons. But I'm going to put Tarot as my numero five. It comes out May 3rd. And it's about a group of friends who are tormented by an evil entity, I think, that had been trapped in a cursed deck of tarot cards. The trailer's okay. It reminds me a bit of Final Destination, but with tarot cards. I think the design on these cards looks freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not expecting a lot out of this. This probably won't be a horror classic, but like I think this could be a fun way to spend 90 minutes, and hopefully this is not like a 2-hour movie, but I'm gonna scratch that itch with this one.
I think that looks fun. I will say that did not make my list, but that's like those movies. That's not a surprise because I also know that that definitely fits the vibe, kind of like that seance vibe. You're a fan of a lot of movies too along those lines, but this looks fun. Speaking of being intrigued, that's definitely where my number five lies in terms of it's piqued my interest. My intrigue is very high, but we don't know much about this. And this is something that I feel like we'll probably talk about later on. But I had to stick this at number five because it's been a huge question mark for 2 years. And you sent me a link, and that happened earlier today, and that is Salem's Lot is being pulled from theaters, but instead it's going directly to Max. It's going to be a streaming movie. And this surprised both of us. We didn't see this when the news originally came out, but now I'm like, I have to stick this as my number five, the wild card. And it's mainly just because not knowing a lot about it, not seeing any images, other than seeing Stevie King tweeting about it every now and again. And he's like, you know, I just can't believe there's this great movie that's shelved. What's going on at Warner Brothers? And now we finally know. So we are finally getting this movie. But like I said, I feel like we'll be talking about this later on in the podcast.
I'll say that it's obviously on my list because if you've listened to us in the last couple of years, I bring it up every freaking episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I missed the news last week. I think I was busy, but I... That would have almost been an emergency podcast. And I'm complete, like, we have to do something because this is breaking freaking news.
We'd have to, like, if they drop it on Max and it just like a surprise, hey, here's Salem's Lot this weekend, that would be even bigger.
I've weirdly thought, man, what if it leaked or it accidentally got dumped on Max real quick and someone, like, ripped it? Oh, that would have been a dream.
Loves hard.
Great. Numero four. Changing gears. I'm going with something that's been getting some buzz since premiering at South by Southwest. I haven't seen a single second of this. I've seen one still image. The movie's called Oddity. It streams sometime this summer on Shudder, which is... The buzz is great from South by Southwest, and then I see Shudder, and I'm a little concerned.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give it a shot, but it's... A supernatural thriller that centers around a blind medium trying to uncover the truth behind his sister's death with the help of a wooden mannequin.
Oh,
there's a handful of reviews on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and I think around 100%. And one of those reviews claims that this is one of the scariest movies of the year, or will end up as one of the scariest movies. And the plot sounds intriguing to me. I just some of the headlines about this being so scary and a wooden mannequin. Like, I don't know. It all seems to fit into something that I would probably be interested in. So sometime this summer, it's going to be on Shudder. Really, that's all I can tell you. It's I don't know if this is an Irish film. I think the filmmaker is Irish. This doesn't have like a cast of well-known people. Like nobody I recognized. So there's not a lot I can really dive into, but Oddity is my number four. Hopefully we can get a trailer soon. and get a look at what this might be.
Interesting. Yeah, this I know popped up on a list whenever I was searching for movies when we were doing the first half of 2024, and I was just looking at movies across the board for all year. And this was one that did pop up. I hadn't read much buzz, but same situation. I'm like, oh man, this actually sounds really intriguing. But I will say that's not on my list. However, it has piqued my interest.
Numero four.
Speaking of number four, that mine will go to a first-timer making her directorial debut is Zoe Kravitz. And it is her film Blink Twice with Channing Tatum. Original title was a not safe for work title by the name of Pussy Island, in which Channing Tatum plays a tech billionaire who ends up kind of like befriending and wooing this waitress, flies her out with him to a private island where she fights to survive. It's a blend of several different genres, but Channing Tatum calls this a crazy thriller, and it's coming out August 23rd. The fact that Zoe Kravitz is making her directorial debut with this, I'm really interested to see what she ends up doing with this, and especially was she, like, just the fact that she's dipping her toes into the behind-the-scenes world with this project, super intrigued by this. But I love that Channing Tatum, too, he's kind of branching out and doing something a little different with this. And it sounds like it's a mix of, like, say, The Purge. What was that movie? It's like Damon Lindelof had co-written it, and it was it's like The Hunt or something like that.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, it sounds like it might be something like that mixed with Spiderhead, the Chris Hemsworth movie, that like sci-fi thriller that also had, was it Hemsworth and was it Miles Teller that was in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully it turns out better than that.
Yeah. But this, I'm really, really curious to see what it looks like, especially what it looks like. But this is again, something that piqued my interest, and it all stems from Zoe Kravitz taking a step behind the camera.
Would you have preferred if the movie was called Pussy Island?
Yes.
So is this an Amazon? Did you say this was an Amazon film?
No, I didn't. This was I think that Amazon is producing it, but I don't know if it's going to be like just on Prime or not, because they changed things up a little bit, and I don't know if it's going to stay on Prime or they'll be releasing it in theaters. I think that they will end up having Amazon started. Releasing more and more of their films in theaters, but
just don't tell Doug Liman.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point.
He ended up going to that screening, by the way.
Yeah, I love he retracted that. It's all got to be like a game. He's doing that to get like drum up more interest, I feel.
I immediately thought he must have either lost money or he's getting more money by just showing up.
True.
And they could be like, well, if you don't show up, we're not paying you for this part of the, I don't know, whatever they signed. Who knows? Interesting. I Pussy Island sounds familiar, but I didn't know the plot. And I didn't know Zoe Kravitz made that. And I'll have to add that to my list.
So in addition to Channing Tatum, we've got Haley Joel Osment, Christian Slater, Kyle MacLachlan, and Gina Davis in this movie.
I don't remember the last time I've seen old Gina.
Yeah, I know. Right now, it's interesting because I did do a quick search to see what I could find. Obviously, with this being Amazon MGM, an MGM property, there's not necessarily a clear answer whether this will be released in theaters and like have a follow-up on Prime or if they'll do just Prime. But as of now, this article from Deadline was just mentioning how The Beekeeper was an MGM property. The Boys in the Boat was an MGM property. And American Fiction is also an MGM property.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Should have been called Pussy Island, but
yeah,
that's okay. So my number three, you can't have a list like this without including Shyamalan, though I already revealed that this is not M. Night Shyamalan. His daughter, Ishana, has a new thriller coming out June 14th called The Watchers. And Dakota Fanning stars. She plays a woman stranded in a forest in Ireland, and she finds shelter but becomes trapped with three strangers who are watched and stalked by mysterious creatures every night. It's based on a novel.
Mm.
Ashana has been putting in some work. She, from the trailer, she clearly has studied and learned a lot from her dad.
Oh, yeah.
And she wrote and directed episodes of Servant for Apple. And I didn't know this until adding it today. She was the second unit director on M. Night's last two movies, Old and Knock Knock at the Cabin. So she's been putting in the work. This is her, I guess, film directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have her name on it, if you just had Shyamalan's name on it, I would totally think this was one of his movies. Like, oh, yeah. It looks similar to what he's done before in a lot of different ways. I get Village vibes, though, with maybe actual creatures. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen The Village.
Oh,
but I'm all in, man. This looks like a lot of fun. And it's got, what's her name from, what's that movie called? why am I blanking? Hang on.
Oh, yeah. Barbarian. That's the actress. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name? What's her name? I got to search it real quick.
Yeah. I forget the actress's name, but yeah.
I know. Oh, Georgina Campbell, who I haven't seen since that movie, but man, whoo.
Loves. Got to get some more Georgina.
Yeah, give me some more Georgina. And she's in this as well. And June 14th, The Watchers.
This is going to be a good movie because, like you said, it does have a lot of the Shyamalan M. Night vibes, but I almost put this on the list and it didn't make it. It was like a runner-up. I probably would have put this number 7 on my list, but this does look really good, really solid. One movie, speaking of the runner-ups, one movie that I have for my number 3 that made your runner-up list is Robert Eggers' remake of Nosferatu. This is starring Bill Skarsgård. Skarsgård.
Yeah, I was going to say, I said Nosferatu. Is it Nosferatu?
See, I don't know. That's a great question because I've always pronounced it Nosferatu. But I could be saying that incorrectly. I have never watched the original.
I don't know who's the vampire. Who plays the vampire?
The OG, I'm not sure, but Billy Skarsgård is playing, of course, the creepy role this time around. Lily Rose Depp is going to play the one who he is lusting after, I guess. And I don't really know this story outside of knowing that it's like the one that kicked off the whole, you know, this was the first major vampire monster movie. And I find this interesting that we're getting this in the same year that we also have Salem's Lot, because this same vampire is what inspired Stephen King heavily in Salem's Lot. And with this coming out on December 25th, Christmas Day, it's so strange that we're getting this at the end of the year on that day. It's like, this is going to be an awards contender, but whatever. I'm here to end up seeing this movie. And with Robert going back to the horror genre with this project, like you said, it's a passion project. I'm really curious to see what he'll do. I know that it's going to be awesome, but I am especially interested to see how Billy looks, since this is a follow-up to just coming out of It as where he played Pennywise. But we're getting a lot of Billy. We've got him in this. We've got him in, was it Boy Kills World, that Lionsgate movie. And then we also have him in The Crow, where we ended up getting that trailer the other day. Which, by the way, I want to ask you, tangent, is The Crow on your list?
No, it looks so bad.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, this movie,
it looks awful.
It looks like they tried to do John Wick with the crow, and they just shouldn't have redone that or remade that movie. The other thing is, could this end up like Boy Kills World and then The Crow? Could that be enough to like really destroy Billy Skarsgård? Because he
Billy's gonna be fine.
I would think so, but like he was on a good roll with John Wick 4, and then obviously Pennywise, and I feel like this movie will end up putting him in good shape too. But he's gonna need a rebound from those two movies, I feel, and Nosferatu will end up helping with that.
Yeah, the crow's gonna be a stinker. It looks so bad, man. I got a hot take. I've only seen The Crow one time. I'm sure it was fine. I think that movie is held at a degree because Brandon Lee was killed.
Yeah.
Like, if he had never been killed in that movie, I don't think anyone would think twice about The Crow.
True.
Like, you would probably have fans, but I don't think it would be as sacred as it is today.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, because people were really mad that this was being made.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it does boil down to just, like, honoring Brandon in terms of... And I think it is, like, an unspoken recognition, you know, that they're doing that in terms of... They're wanting to make sure that it's a good movie, and that's fair, but... It's like supposed to honor him, but in that case, it's like the crow is immortalized for, like what you said, what happened, the behind the scenes tragedy. So I mean, the story, I don't know how you keep remaking this kind of story. I think you just leave it alone. You keep the OG movie. I remember liking the OG movie, but it's like there's not a whole lot more you can do with that. So I'd say leave it alone and let's move on. Let's do another revenge story, not this back to this well. But anyways, that was my tangent.
What if at the beginning of the movie he's like, this one's for Brandon?
Oh, then everyone's like, we love this, we're on board, give us more.
Number two. No, The Crow, is that even a horror film? That don't look like a horror film.
Nah, the OG
it looks like a horror film because it looks terrible.
Oh,
but not because it's like an actual horror film.
Gives me,
I don't even care that he like looks like a dumbass. Like, that doesn't bother me. It just looks like a really bad movie.
He looks like Jared Leto's Joker.
He does. He just doesn't have the damaged tattoo.
Yeah.
I had to literally think what you were talking about. I go, did he mean Joaquin? I was like, oh no, he played Joker in Suicide Squad. I forgot That's right. about that.
Yeah. Everyone forgets, but I don't forget.
I've seen that movie like 9 times at this point, so I clearly haven't forgotten. I just blocked it out of my memory.
Hashtag release the air cut.
Oh boy. Number two. This is the one I think you and I might have as well. It's called Late Night with the Devil. Another Shudder film. It comes out April 19th. Found footage horror film. It's made to look like a rediscovered broadcast tape of this late night show, variety show. And actor David Dasmalchian plays the host as he tries to revive his career by communing with a demon that's allegedly possessed a teenage girl on Halloween night. There's about 50 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes right now, 100% currently. This just looks like it could be really frightening. Really well done. It's on Shudder, like I said, in April. It's also in theaters this weekend. Limited release, but I know we're getting it. And it's tempting to see this in theaters. I don't have my Regal Pass at the moment, which would be my reason not to. So I'm going to wait until it's on Shudder and do like a free trial or something. But this looks like it could be spooky fun. Set on Halloween, so we're getting that vibe. I just wish this was actually out maybe around Halloween this year. That would have been dope.
Yeah, that would be awesome to end up seeing this movie, like you said, since it's set on the possession occurring on Halloween. And just, this looks good. I will say this did not make my list.
Ooh, would
this looks really good.
One question. Mm-hmm. Would you wait until October time to watch this?
Nah, I would end up watching
you
it.
You want to crank it out?
Yeah, I'd watch it, and then if I really like it, then I'll. This could end up, if it's really good, this could end up being a new one that I add into rotation for Halloween. Because with those vibes, it's. I love the look of this movie. It's a throwback. It's also with David S. Malchian. He looks like he would be a late night host from the 70s era, like where when this movie's supposed to take place. I also think every time I see this, I think back to the chimpanzee scene from Nope. And
I think of like House of the Devil or something like that. That, like it's got that, that too, look to
yeah.
it.
Right, yeah. But that's where like this, I even though in Nope it was a sitcom, this being a late night show. I love this idea too, like the late night show vibe and the aesthetic. And also, like I said, David just looks, he fits the part. He's perfect for this. And I think this could end up being my favorite role of his so far. And it's also, I feel, a brand new take on the possession stories that we haven't received. Like, this is new. It's not like, you know, we get this exorcism, like, okay, we got to... This is what freaking David Gordon Green should have done with the exorcism movies and taking an approach like this. Like, he needs to get his head out of his butt and start looking at creative ideas of, you know, taking the next two movies since the exorcism Believer, or Believers, what was it, Believer? It was Believer, yeah. And start trying to go in a direction like this, like... What's he doing? Come on.
I mean, he's not even doing those anymore.
Yeah. After they bought it for, what is it, $500 million, basically?
I'm surprised this isn't on your list.
Almost. That was another one that I almost put it on the list. And I debated, I kept wrestling with that idea because if I hadn't talked about this earlier, like on another show, I don't know. I think I would have... probably put it on the list. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but yeah, I left it off, and I figured it might have made your list too. But man, this looks good. This looks so good.
Somebody sent me the trailer, and I saw the little still, and I'm like, God, this is gonna. I bet this looks terrible. And I watched it. I'm like, wow, this looks freaking awesome.
Oh yeah.
So, and then I started hearing some buzz about it being pretty good. So. My hopes are high. Man, if this was coming out around October time, that would have been perfect.
Now, are you going to wait and watch this in October?
No.
Or are you going to
I'm going to crank it out.
My number two is yet another film that made your runner-up list, and that is, of course, M. Night's new movie, Trap, starring Josh Hartnett. And Josh said this movie of M. Night's is very bizarre and very dark. Josh also said this is a pivot for his career. He thinks that this role is one that's very different than something he's done before. The only thing we know about this is that it takes place at in a concert venue.
Oh, does it? Or like I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's where this is, I'm guessing, Trap. It's got to be something where...
What if it's trap music?
Oh, actually, that would be really interesting. And they all get trapped somehow at this concert. I don't know. But yeah, this is, I think, there's not a whole lot more that we know about this. But man, and it's obviously taking place in Philadelphia. So that's all we know. And I think this is really interesting. Coming out August 2nd. I feel like there's a lot of August releases. We got this, we got Alien, we got Blink Twice, the Zoe Kravitz film. So I feel like August is the new October as far as like getting some spooky stuff. But also we ended up getting a Knock at the Cabin in August, you know, M. Night's last film. So I am really interested to see kind of how this looks. But also with Josh Hartnett taking the lead, man, I'm super curious. Trap.
Both Shyamalans getting picks.
That's cool.
I mean, I love M. Night. I feel bad I didn't include it now. feel like I let him down.
I had to. I had to, because just the sound, knowing that the name alone, and it's set in a at a concert with Josh Hartnett, and it's being described by Josh Hartnett, is very dark, very bizarre. Count me in.
What if he described it as hilarious?
I would be even more in, I think. M. Night doing a hilarious thriller. That sounds good.
Who knows? I mean, remember Green Room?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of at a concert.
Yeah.
That's a badass movie. I've been so wanting good. To rewatch that. I just remember that really raising my blood pressure because I was, man, I might watch that tonight.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
You know, I was thinking about watching tonight.
Horror movie?
Well, no. It's a horror film at the box office. Madam Web.
Because I can
watch that at home. And I might watch it tonight. I just might. I'm like super excited.
Did you buy it?
No, I can rent it, but it's like $20. I might have to.
Ooh.
That made like $30 million less than Morbius. That's how bad it did here. Sony should probably be paying me to watch it.
Yeah, they should end up just shelling it out and saying, we don't, just watch it. Just
we'll give you $20 to watch yeah. this movie. So numero one for me, any clue, any guesses? I mean, it's pretty obvious, I guess.
Yeah, this has to be your Salem's Lot pick.
I mean, my goodness, that's all I've been talking about for 2 years.
You've been obsessed. You actually have a Salem's Lot room where you've recreated a lot of the book, and it's in this room.
I love the book. I reread it back in October or September. In hopes that they were just going to drop that in October time. Oh. It didn't happen.
Is that your favorite Stevie King book?
No, it's top five, though. I could make an argument it's in my top three.
Mm.
And I want to rewatch or reread this year. I know I just read it. I want to read it again. I love it. Rumor is this is coming out fourth quarter 2024 on Max. Is October fourth quarter? I don't even know. It would have to be, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing this comes out in October. It seems perfect. The perfect time to do it. Really, I think we've covered it. I don't know if there's much else to say. I've obviously been very excited for this, and I'm glad. Fingers crossed this really does come out, because I could see them doing a 180 all of a sudden and be like, no, we're not going to release it. We're going to write it off. But
man, Zazzy.
He's nuts, man.
He loves doing that crap.
Again, this could be easy money at the box office, but any way that I can see it, I just want to see it. And I mentioned, I think I texted you, like, Lewis Pullman plays the main character in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like infatuated with him lately. I watched Lessons in Chemistry, which he stars in. I cranked through that in like a day and a half. And I've been wanting to rewatch Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh yeah.
He's in Top Gun Maverick. And he has a bunch of like small movies that I haven't seen yet, but I can't wait to see him as Ben. And just how they do. I mean, maybe this movie's terrible, but I'm always interested in how people do King. And this being a modern, in terms of filmmaking, this is a revamped version. I don't know when this takes place. I don't know if it takes place in the 70s like the book, or if they're going to modernize it, which they very well could. But like just modern filmmakers making this intrigues me. Because we got Tobe Hooper in 79, which I think is good. And then last October, I watched the TV version of this with Rob Lowe. I think it came out in 2004.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And man, that thing sucks. A lot of people online say that is their favorite version of this, or they really like it. I thought it was bad.
See, I remember whenever it was out, I was surprised by it in a good way. But man, I've only seen it once, and that was when it first came out.
There's a few changes I didn't like, and it's just, it comes across as super cheap. So I just want to see some money put into this story. And then obviously King has been vocal about this and praised it, though he's never shied to praise things that aren't good. Because I'm sure he gets something out of it, you know? So I don't know if we can take that too seriously, but I'm happy that we at least have some news that this is coming out.
It's about time. It's about friggin' time.
2 years. I mean, this was supposed to come out September 2022. Then it got bumped to spring 2023 and then just completely removed. Mm. And we never heard anything about it.
So strange.
And that's so weird.
Yeah, so...
It makes me think that Zaslav tried to get somehow to write this off and like couldn't find a way to get the money he wanted and is just like dumping this just cause.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, the guy's psychotic. what's your numero one?
My number one goes to a movie we've heard a little bit about, and I brought this up as well once, very briefly. It's coming out May 3rd, starring Hunter Schafer, and it's Neon's Cuckoo. It's a 17-year-old moves with her family to a German resort where creepy things start happening. I know you said that you've heard things about this movie. Is that right?
I was hearing a lot about it, and then there's a bunch of reviews online right now, and they were not great. So I kept this one off.
That's I feel like it could be one of those that it could be, again, a really good. It could be one of those like surprises, or it could be a stinker. And I'm hoping, rolling the dice.
Oh, you know, the reviews are better than they must have gone up. 24 reviews, 79%.
Yeah, I'm banking on the fact, really, really hoping that we end up getting something that's very unique and different. Cuckoo, obviously, it's always interesting to consider that this has to do something with clocks. Like, there has to be a huge thing with clocks in this. And I always forget about this fact, but how, like, cuckoo clocks are so predominant in Germany. And any that like there are others who I've heard there when traveling to Germany, it's like where like cuckoo clocks are sought after. And I don't know. I don't know if this has anything to do like a play into like a historical element with that in Germany. I'm very interested in this. Sounds really weird and trippy, but I'm here for weird and trippy. And I have seen some images from this. Of course, there's a very short teaser, and it doesn't really reveal anything at all. But I like I said, I'm really hoping for something that's just really bizarre, really out there. And I also love this idea of like this family moving to another country. It's kind of like The Strangers. I got like a feel like that. And of course, speaking of The Strangers, we couldn't include Strangers. What is it? Strangers Chapter 1 or some BS like that?
Yeah. Which just looks like a straight remake of the OG.
And it's like how The Strangers came to be. I don't care.
Yeah, that doesn't. It's like, yeah, I don't care. Yeah. I don't want to know that because it's creepy just not knowing that. So Dan Stevens is also in this and then Jessica Henwick.
Yeah, so that's where I feel like this movie could end up being a fun summer watch. Weirdly, it's a summer release. May doesn't seem like it'd be a May movie, but we're getting it on May 3rd
by Neon cranking out some good stuff. Yeah, Cuckoo.
Yeah, they've got Neon. I've been very surprised in a good way by a lot of recent neon movies, but add this to the top of that list, Cuckoo. I'm gonna say that it's my number one.
Man, I think if I would have known that the ratings had jumped this much, I might have included this at number five.
Interesting. Like you,
I might have kicked out Tarot, yeah. Because this could be, I mean, I kept hearing about this.
What?
And then it premiered somewhere, and then the reviews were like in the low 60s or something. So it's gone up.
You, it's interesting, though, because when you first said that, and you're number five, you're like, you know, teenage, you know, horror films. I was like, oh, you're going to pick Cuckoo. That's interesting. And then you said, well, you did. I'm like, oh, that's not at all what I was leaning toward. But since you had mentioned this before, I thought, all right, I bet this will be the one movie and then we'll have Salem's Lot. So we would end up having this too.
I really thought we were going to have Late Night with the Devil and Salem's Lot. Salem's Lot was the one where I'm like, I don't know, man. I think That, I think he's going to leave that off because he knows that I'm going to have
that'd
it.
Be contrary. I also thought that M. Night's movie Trap, you would include that. And that's another surprise. I'm surprised you didn't include that. But that's my number two.
That is very high on your list for something we know nothing about.
Loves.
And I will say, I want to say with Salem's Lot, going back to that, I think I'm going to try to not watch any trailers or anything for it before I watch the movie. Because I know this story. I know the story well. And I think I just want to go in completely blind.
Wow.
Especially if I've waited this long. Like, why not just like try to go in completely fresh?
But man, Q4, that's going to be a long wait.
Yeah, but if it's October, I mean, that's coming around the corner. I think about October every single day.
Man, can you imagine opening the doors and windows and then you got a nice little breeze drifting through the home? Well, now, since you're on the beach, it's going to be a little more humid at that time, I'd assume. The feel is going to be a little different, but still, though, a little cooler, a little crisper. You got that crisp fall feel, and then you put on Salem's Lot. You've been waiting for 2 years.
I think I could be suicidal if it's not good, though. Because I've been looking forward to it.
Especially if Lewis Pullman, if he ends up coming out and he's like, this movie sucks.
What if he sucks in the movie, though? And I'm like, oh, man, I really was riding high on this guy.
Yeah. Do you think that he looks just like Bob, his character in Top Gun Maverick in this? He's got glasses. He's like trying to bang away on a piano playing Great Balls of Fire.
We rewatched that. I hadn't seen it since theater, so we rewatched it a couple weeks ago, and it still holds up, man. I like it. There's some cringy stuff in there, but for the most part, like the piano scene.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's so, like, stupid. But then you have Tom Cruise, like, looking through the window.
Oh, that's so good.
And I'm like, oh, that part hits. Like, that works. But the singing of that is just so stupid.
It's so ridiculous. Mean, yeah. Even whenever that played out, I'm like, that's absurd. It's funny because, like, the first time I saw Top Gun Maverick, I'm like, I mean, it's good. It's good. Like, I liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as what everyone else liked it. But then I saw it a second time. Like, this is good. This is a good movie. It's I mean the fact that the main thing is like how they shot it and going to the extremes that they did. That's what's cool. That's what really makes it stand out. And the fact that Tommy C, he's just got to go for it. And he's nuts. He's like, I don't care. I'm gonna put every one of you through pilot school, including Lewis Pullman. We're gonna risk you. Risk your life. That way you may never shoot Salem's Lot, but I don't care.
Well, he probably had already shot it by that point. I was going to say the movie not being as good the second time, it's still incredible to me because I'm watching it. I'm like, I don't understand how they did this.
Yeah.
So I still give it massive props. Like, I still loved
it. Oh, big time. That's definitely the filmmaking behind that movie is why it is, in my opinion, as good as it is, because they went to those extremes. And I don't like this idea of that they're returning with a third film. I'm like, just that's it. Just let it sail into the sunset.
They need to stop. I don't want another one because you can't recreate that.
Yeah, it's like, I know it made buku bucks for you, Paramount, but you're about to go under anyways. You're about to be bought out by like Disney or Apple or someone. So
probably WB.
Well, but now WB, they're like retracting, or they're stepping back. They're like, well, we can't. Zazie's like, we can't do that. We've had too many write-offs.
I think he's just saying that to try to downplay a lot of concern.
True.
Would be my guess, but who knows?
Well, speaking of concern, we got to go because we're running out of time. It's a concerning lack of time that we've got. So, because of that reason, all we can say is, till next time, keep watching.